lift off and the clock has started.
Everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 292, recording April 29th, 2024. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we're going to be talking around some Ubisoft releases, interesting numbers coming out of some recent releases, a brewing censorship scandal that... I'm sorry, I find hilarious. We're going to talk about some trailers. You know what? Games we've been playing, things. If you've been listening, you know what we're about that life. To do that, I have with me, as always, Shannon New Dog Who Dis More.
What's up? How you doing?
It's good to be back. Yes.
It is. Last week was rough. No pun intended. Yeah, it really, was.
It sounded like there was a pun intended.
Yeah, maybe. So Thursday last week, I was awoken at 4 o'clock in the morning to what sounded like a cannon going off in the front of our house. two houses down from us, there's a T intersection, and somebody had stolen a truck about a mile away. And the police were in pursuit, and they came down this T road, did not see the stop sign at our intersection, went through it at like 70 and hit a parked car at the T intersection, and then pushed that car over cement pylons that were in the ground, severed that car in half, and sent half of it flying into another parked car that was in front of the house. And then sent the other half into the driveway with the truck. And then the lady that got out proceeded to then scream at everybody who had their phones out, taking pictures of the damage and her and the cars, because she was trying to run. And the cops were just like trying to catch her. Yeah. But there was like one cop, and he didn't know if he needed to like check on the house and the people that were like running out of said house, like what's going on, or like catch this lady that had obviously wrecked her car and was not going to make it very far down the street in the condition that she was in. So it was just absolute bedlam in front of our house at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, our friends who were dog sitting or who were fostering a dog at the time were like having some issues unrelated to that. But like we were up. So they were like, hey, can you help us out like real quick? Like we're having a medical emergency. Can you take this dog and like foster it for us, because we're not going to be able to do it right now? And then we were just like, OK, cool. And then here we are like 3 days later. And now we love this dog and we're not getting rid of it anymore.
Ah, it is no longer a foster dog.
Yeah, it is no longer a foster. It is. It is a half husky, half terrier, has these piercing blue eyes that, and it is the chillest dog I've ever seen. Like it doesn't, I mean, it's 12 weeks old.
Okay, but hold on. So you were given this puppy under the guise of like, hey, can you foster this dog while we deal with some medical things? Noble of you. Awesome of you guys, by the way. They're not gonna ask for it back.
It seems
like when it's like, hey, we got these situations resolved. Can I have my dog back? You're gonna be like, yeah, no, that's my dog now. Sorry.
I mean you know how it goes. About it. It's not like we surprised him.
Okay.
But it was just like it was more of a long term solution, right? Like they were like, look, like we don't know how long this is gonna go on for, like. One of the people needs surgery. They're going to be out for a while. Like the other person works full time. Like, so it's not going to be like a situation where this dog is going to have like the best at home environment, you know, that it needs growing up. So like we were like,
especially being a puppy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So bring it over here. We have three cats that can terrorize. And, you know, we've been looking for a dog for about like 6 months, but we've never really found one that like fit our like family structure. Mm-hmm. But like this dog, like, and my son, like, get along very well. And like, you know, they are like two peas in a pod already. So we're just like, this is it. This is the one.
All right. And what is the dog's name?
I mean, do you guys want to guess the name?
Foster
the people.
It's a good idea.
Now, 1843.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
No, we went with Bluey. Bluey was its
name. Is it blue?
Classic.
It has, like I said, it has very blue eyes, like ice blue eyes, and it is a tan color in nature.
So you didn't go bingo then? Interesting.
Yeah, no. Like, bingo is like, yeah, just mid tier too. Like, you know, you go top tier.
Can I get you into a muffin? Muffin's a good
one. Muffin's a good one, but he's too chill for muffin, bro. Like, he is way too chill. Like, exactly. I would almost put him as who is it? Who's the super chill like boyfriend of the of Chili's like sister? Rex?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Rex?
Rex. Yeah.
I'd go with a Rex if anything.
Gotcha. All right, fair enough. No Jean-Luc. Couldn't do a Jean-Luc.
No, dude, he's not a black lab, bro.
Jeez, I didn't know that was a black lab name. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, and your dog's not blue either.
He's got blue eyes, bro. He's got blue in the... That's why he's bluey.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you. I mean, there is like a 30% chance his eyes will change to brown in like the next 2 weeks. So if they don't, then we don't have to change the name.
Well, at least we answered the question of how Shannon hurt his back because he was jumping through these hoops trying to justify the name. So, yeah. Happens. That other magical voice you hear, Justin, Disc Junkie Carter.
It's your boy. So, Hunt. Hey, that's a lot to unpack. When Shannon was telling the story about the truck, I thought it'd be fucking hilarious if it was his stolen work truck that is the car that like crashed in front of his house. Like that would full circle.
I guess we did kind of blow right past that. Yeah, that was okay, so here was the question that came to me while you were telling that story. When the car got cut in half and half of it then flies into a house.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, into the driveway.
Into the driveway, right? Onto another parked car, yes.
You said then people were exiting that residence?
Yes.
And like multiple people. Uh-huh. And like leaving?
No. So they were just coming in because like the car hit their house, right? So like...
Right. Which is, but the way you were telling the story, it made it sound like it was like, I don't know, a handful of people... came out front and like left and we're like, oh, I'm getting out of here because the cops are going to show up. And I'm like, okay, so what was going on in that house?
So let me tell you, the house that got hit is a sober living environment.
Oh.
So like you have all these people that are trying to get clean, which is fun, you know, great. Like a lot of them are very nice people, but like all of them like proceeded to watch their house get hit by this car. And then they all had to go outside with their like Marlboros, and like every one of them had like just stress smoking like over in the corner.
Oh, just, like, 100%.
Just everybody's like chain smoking cigarettes left and right. They're just like, and every after everybody came out, they had the same response. They look and they go, "Oh fuck, man!" And then cigarette in the mouth, light it up, walk over to the corner with the rest of the guys, and, like watch the chaos happen.
That's wild. All right. Because, yeah, I was totally picturing people like being like, oh, shit, I have to leave.
Like, I'm on probation. Like, yeah, I cannot get another strike right now.
I do not want to be anywhere where there, like 20 cops are about to be. So
it was the second time in 4 years that this has happened.
Wow.
The fact that it has happened that many times and your truck has been broken into and stolen that many times speaks volumes.
Yes, yes, yes. It does. You know, yeah. We do have a very nice house. It's mm-hmm. just not the nicest neighborhood.
It's a lovely house.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm very excited for your dog, Shannon. Yeah, mm-hmm. thank you for joining the club. Mm-hmm. I also have a dog named Rex, and when he was about that, I'd say that age, like you said, in the next couple weeks, like yeah, only one of his eyes changed brown though. But we were super concerned. We thought like his pupil like exploded or something, and it was just like no, it was just turning brown because it was weird because it was happening to just that one eye. So I thought that he got like smacked in the head or something and mm-hmm. something bad happened, but no, his eye just changed colors randomly. Like he's like 14 weeks old.
That's kind of rad though. That now he's got like one brown eye and one blue eye.
Yeah, it's cool. Like he's the only one in the litter that did that. So, and he was my favorite to begin with. And I wanted one with a blue eye, brown eye. And then it changed. And I'm like, he changed his eye for me. Like we have to keep him now. Like I prayed to the gods for that to happen, and it happened. So
he willed his genetics to change.
Yeah. but yes, I've been doing good. I went and I played more disc golf with my dad. It was the first time we like went out in like a couple weeks and played. He didn't himself on the course this time, which was a plus.
Jesus.
But I did really good. Yeah, that's always a plus that you can walk away with clean britches from the disc golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, we finally went to near our house. There is a dynamic discs shop that's like a disc golf like store, and we saw it. I was like, dude, I really want to go in there and check it out. And we went in there and I bought some well, I didn't buy them. My parents bought me some discs for my birthday next month, and they were like, oh, that's like easy. Like, you know, just pick out whatever you want or whatever, and boom. And I was like, perfect. So I picked out a couple new discs. I'm excited. So Megan got me a new backpack to like carry them in and stuff. So your boy's gonna be looking froggy fresh out there on the course.
I will tell you, it is really funny that when you first started going out disc golfing, we're like, oh, dude, here we go. He's going to get into it, and he's going to have, like, the outfits, and he's going to have his own mm-hmm. discs. And you're like, no, dude, that's not going to be me, bro. Like, look at this guy. He's gotten rid of his anime shirts, and now he's all about wearing disc golf shirts and stuff like that. He's like, you're living that life now, bro.
Our boy's in his mid-30s. This is what happens.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we got to update the roster. When you get into your 30s, it's either you start barbecuing meats, you get into woodworking, or you do disc golf.
You know, it's been a slow progression of, you know, it's like I still have a bunch of anime shirts, and then, you know, there's still tech decks, and then now just disc golf just got added to it.
I remember when Shannon was in his mid 30s. There used to be anime shirts then too. And then slowly but surely, they just started not being anime shirts, mm-hmm. and now he's just down to like a Hunter x Hunter's hoodie. You know,
yeah, the Holy Grail.
The occasional sweater that Justin gets me for Christmas that I wear when I don't, you know, when I'm not going to wear any, when I'm not going to eat anything that can ruin a white sweater.
Smart.
And see, that's the thing, is he wears that one hoodie now for the amount of times he would normally have just worn an anime shirt. So now he has to make it up. Like, he's like, you know, I'm not wearing an anime shirt, but I know how to fix this outfit. Mm-hmm. Hunter, Hunter.
Yeah,
so for sure.
Numbers up.
Numbers up.
Those are rookie numbers. Gotta get the numbers up.
Rookie numbers. Speaking of rookie numbers,
I knew it as soon as I said that. I was like, that's perfect lead in softball.
How does 200 players on a Steam game that major AAA release? Okay, so Rocksteady's, you know, maker of the Arkham series. some of the best games made. So that studio earlier this year released Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, to let's say mixed reviews, to be kind.
It took the internet by storm for minutes.
Literal minutes. and a story came out on Forbes earlier this week that, you know, this guy, it's one of their writers, Paul Tassi. He's a good follow on Twitter. If you are so inclined, he does deep dives on like Destiny and TV shows and stuff like that. But he was like, hey, they're doing a big new patch on Suicide Squad. I'm going to go look into how that game's doing, because it's a game I haven't thought of in a while. And he went to check in. Suicide Squad is now peaking at 214 players on Steam. Not 2,000. Not 214,000. 214. The lowest so far off hours is 102. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sure, this was probably not, I'm guessing Steam was probably not the lead, you know, SKU for this game. It probably was never going to sell that well on Steam anyway. But at its peak, it did 13,000 on Steam. So that's a hell of a drop off. Mm-hmm. And you got to imagine percentage wise, the console probably looks pretty similar. And, you know, they've got a whole live service roadmap laid out there and everything, but how long do you think it is before we get the press release that they're just shuttering it and saying, screw it?
I think it's about a month after this article comes out to me.
Dude, I will say, I think it's incredibly impressive though, that they have the exact same number of peak Steam players that sold units of the PlayStation VR 2. Like 200 people bought that. 200 people are playing Steam. And at least it's 200. That means if there's 200 players, that means there's 50 groups of four players each playing the game together. So
hey, there we go.
Yeah.
We have 50 Suicide Squads.
Yeah. It's
also really good to know that there is a video game out there that we are just beating. Like, I mean, we have more listeners and downloads than the Suicide Squad. So, I mean,
it's great. You makes know, me feel good.
It's something, right?
I mean,
we're better than a AAA game.
In this article, he goes to propose that the only thing that can probably salvage this, at least to not shutter it immediately, would be to make a deal to get it on like PlayStation Plus and Game Pass, just to get it in people's hands and playing it. And I mean, sure, if it showed up on Game Pass, I'd spin it up just to see it, just to be like, hey, is this any good? Like, what kind of a tire fire is this? Why not? It's free at that point, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'll be damned if I'm going to pay even $29.99, let alone $69.99 to play it. So
my time is too precious to play this game. I mean,
which you say, and you're not wrong, mm-hmm. but I mean, they did that with Marvel Avengers. Marvel Avengers eventually came to Game Pass. I played the single player. It was pretty good. The Ms. Marvel part of it was pretty fun. That was pretty good. And then I deleted it and I never thought about it again, but I played it. You know what I mean? So I think there's a way where you could at least attempt to get some players that way, but they could be so deep in the red at this point that it makes no sense to even try.
Yeah. I don't think there's any redeeming this game.
I just can't believe it went that bad.
I mean, I don't know. I think there is a problem when you have a game or a franchise that is rooted in more of like an adult environment, right? Like there's violence. These people are mentally unstable. There's a lot of things you laugh at because you get the nuances of these characters as an adult, right? It's more of an adult franchise. And when you try to bring it down so it's more accessible to the masses and to younger kids. I think you do yourself a disservice by making the enemies not as fun to attack or destroy.
Sure.
You know, the growing consensus was that all the attacks were the same, just for different people. Like, I mean, they were, it was basically like the same kind of formula with a different coat of paint on it, right?
Right. Like playing King Shark didn't feel all that different from mm-hmm. playing as Harley Quinn.
Correct. Right, so I think you do yourself, I think there were deeper fundamental problems with the game that shot itself in the foot.
Well, it also didn't help that they rolled out that trailer going like, hey, here it is, check it out. And the entire internet was like, what the fuck did you guys make? That looks so dumb. And people, yeah, that was the funniest thing, because it's rare in today's world of, like, you know, QA, testing, focus groups, that you see a company you see a company miss a mark that bad. Because mm-hmm. when that got released, the vibe around the release of that was, watch this, guys, we nailed it. Everyone's been worried about this game. We fucking nailed it. Like, check this out. And then they rolled that beautiful bean footage. And next thing you know, everyone was going like, hey, no, you didn't nail that. That looks like hot garbage. Like, oh my God, that looks bad. And you could tell that reaction genuinely caught them off guard. Like, they really didn't expect the public's reaction to be that, you know, because their initial response to that was very much of the like, oh, well, you know, online trolls are always going to hate on things, and like, people love fandom, blah, blah. And then people were like, oh, you want me to explain? Oh, okay. So why does everything splashy? Why are there big glowy bits to shoot? Why is, like, this guy's power set seem the same exact way as that guy's power set? And this looks boring, and that looks dumb, and da-da-da-da-da. And then as people went to keep going and expand on their critiques, it was, like, the realization set in of, like, oh, shit, we're going to have to delay this and, like, fix it. fix it. And so 18 months of delays happen. And even at that point, I remember when that first big year-long delay hit, one of the main pieces of reporting I read going, that game's way too far in to get fixed at this point. They can make it run better. They can make it smoother. They can, you know, sand off some edges, but that game is that game at this point. And so, yeah, they made it run better. They made it smoother. They came up with some more content to keep that pipeline of live service going. But, yeah, the game was the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just bummer.
Yeah. I mean, I think we said it time and time again. You can't, I mean, you had the Avengers right there. Like, all you had to do was just look at that game and not do any of the things that they did.
And yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Just don't do
and
that.
I just feel like they did that.
Right.
Dude, what's blowing my mind even more is I was looking it up and, like, Skull and Bones has 7,000 to 10,000 concurrent players. So, dude, when you're getting smoked by self-proclaimed quadruple A game Skull and Bones, you know you're cooked. Like, there's no hope for you.
Wow.
That's rough.
And that game's not even on Steam. I think it's only on, like, Xbox right now, so.
But, I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yep. You live and you learn.
Well, also didn't help that in the course of them making this game, live service games rose and fell.
Yeah.
And it kind of fell with the release of this game. I think it was right around the time this game came out, everyone went, oh yeah, maybe that doesn't make sense. No one's going to stop playing the game they're already playing. Maybe we shouldn't do this. And so... but yeah, I what do you think? 6 months? 6 months, maybe? Before they shutter it?
I think it'll be sooner than 6 months. But, I mean, 6 months is gracious.
I mean, it kind of takes us to the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to place my bets on like quarter one of next year. Like, I think whatever servers they bought for the year, like, are going to run out, and then they're just not going to renew them.
All right. Well, we will all find out. You know, there's a another hot mess that's Ubisoft related that I want Justin to walk us through. Justin, can you please explain to me this Star Wars DLC thing that's happening for Outlaws?
Yeah, so I think it was like earlier this week, like some YouTube person was like digging around, and apparently on like the disc or whatever for Star Wars Outlaws, like the DLC or whatever that you have to buy for like the super premium edition or like whatever, it's already on the disc, but you can't access it, you know, unless you pay the $25-$30 whatever for the content. But it's like, it's already there, like it's already installed and it's like in the game, you just can't access it. It's like a paywall blocking you from doing it, and then you pay the money and it just switches like the one to a zero or whatever, and then gives you the access to that content, which isn't necessarily anything new. Like, I know some games have like done that before, especially Ubisoft and stuff, but it's still, I guess it's just surprising, like when, you know, you're releasing the game and there's already like DLC for that game, like day one at launch, that you're then like putting behind this paywall, and you're like actively have like five versions of this game that you're trying to like upsell to everyone to for this content and stuff. And it's just like, you know, why not just make that a part of it? If it's already ready and you're able to put it like day one, and like, why not just put it in the game for everyone?
Well, the other thing I don't really understand is why would you put it on the disc? Because you need a internet connection to have the physical copy installed anyway. Because that was like the whole other thing that came out with Outlaws, was like, if you buy the disc, you still can't play it without an internet connection.
Which I hate that too. Like,
and it's not that it won't like connect to a server; it won't run. Like, you need to be online to install it.
And it's so, like, yeah. I've never understood why like single player games, like certain ones or whatever, feel the need to require like an always on internet, like whatever, to play the game, when it's like, dude, I want to just play by myself alone. The worst too is when you're playing one of those and you don't realize it, and then your internet cuts out or something, and it's like, oh, disconnected, and then it kicks you out of the game, and it's like, I wasn't even playing online. Like, I was playing offline by myself, and I still got booted from the game because I lost my internet for 30 seconds before it came back.
Well, I mean, Shannon and I came up against this with Diablo 4, where it was one of those, like, I'm playing this as a single-player game. I have literally never played with anyone. Oh, but the servers are down, so I can't play the game. Like, you're kidding me. It's just
yeah.
So frustrating.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. It's just weird. I feel like just dated like tactics from like Ubisoft and stuff. Like, I get that, you know, like raising games to $70 isn't enough, and that they want like, you know, all the money they can get or whatever off of their games, but I just feel like, I don't know, man. There has to be a better way than this.
The grossest thing is cutting a side mission out of a game that's you're charging $70 for and adding it so you can charge $110 for. Like, you want to know why it was on the disc already? Because it was part of the game already. And they were like, oh, we're just going to throw a gate around this one mission and call it DLC. And hey, now you're paying me $110 for a quote-unquote gold edition. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the classic, you know, TikTok, whatever, where they cut the slice of pizza out of the pizza, but then like they put it and it looks like a whole pizza again. Yep, and you got your free slice. And it's like, yeah, none the wiser. They'll never know that slice of pizza is missing.
Yep. Just push the, you know, the diameter of that circle just gets a little smaller. And it, but if you want to give me another $5, I'll make that circle a little bigger. Yeah. Yeah. That seems like it. Ubisoft doing shenanigans, trying to, you know, figure things out.
Yeah, I would expect this from EA, but not from you, Ubisoft.
Not from you, Ubisoft. Ubisoft, who would pump out 2 Assassin's Creed games a year, and their faces wouldn't load in the
just
game.
Their eyeballs and their teeth.
Yeah.
Not you, Ubisoft, who came out with 6 different versions of Watch Dogs to buy. Like,
yeah,
and the Division, and the Jesus Christ, I can't tell you how many different types of Division there were.
They're like, hey, did you know this game's out? And it's like, really? I didn't think it came out for another 4 days. Well, if you pay $90, it's out today. You can play that right now, or you can wait the 4 days like a cuck, I guess, if you want. Like, whatever. All your friends will have beaten the game by then.
They got people to pay them over $100 so they could play Suicide Squad early.
Yep. I know someone that did it. I know someone who is that person that did that.
I was gonna say, look, we've all been in areas where we've spent money on things we seriously regretted the next day.
Of course. But man. But see, that's why they keep doing it. Because people,
it works.
It works. Yeah. You know what doesn't work, Justin? Online petitions. Especially online petitions that involve your waifu Dark Soul game and apparently making characters not as naked as you originally advertised them to be. And let me tell you, the boys are angry about this.
Yeah, dude, it's bullshit. Like, you know, they show the demo, like, at the state of play, whatever, and, you know, she's covered in gore, and, like, what? They took that out. They patched her camel toe out, and it's like, dude, come on. Like, I'm paying $70 to play Dark Souls with, you know, Jiggle Waifu, and you're gonna fucking day one patch it out and blue ball me like that? Come on, dude.
You dropped that swimsuit like, you know, X amount of inches, and she goes from being like, she goes from making it look like a nice toy like a toyger to like a dumpy butt. And I just don't like the dump truck the way that it is.
Very dumpy. No, my favorite quote from the petition by these assholes. The content has been censored from the original trailer version posted by Sony. We as gamers want this content back. It gets better. We relied on it. Wow. We made the game the number one pre-order worldwide because of it. And this is the true game we want.
Dude, all I'm saying is like hashtag preach.
Did you feel gross reading that?
a little. It's more just like, could you imagine writing that not as a joke? Right? Like, that is the saddest shit I have seen online in a while. Like, that is as pathetic as it gets. I'm sorry. Like, that is atrocious.
Yeah.
And we relied on it.
You know, I would
Bro, go touch grass. Like, Jesus Christ.
I would be really surprised if there wasn't like a class action lawsuit saying that like people, it was false advertising or it was some type of, you know, like they were duped out of their money because, like, you know, of the what they thought they were getting is not what they're getting now.
Dude, man, dude, it's just hard. First, they patch out the graffiti making an N-word reference, and then now they patch out the gore and the nudity. Like, go woke, go broke, Sony. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, it's just...
Also, it's not like this character is walking around in a habit. You know? Like, it's not like full robes at this point. Like, come on, man. It's...
There's like sticky controllers out there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. See, and that's how they get
sad
you.
Sad people, dude.
They paid that $150 for the figure.
Right?
Oh, man. I feel dirty. I need to burn this off of my body right now. Can we go by the trailer park? I mean, I think that's a step up from what we're talking about. I don't know if that
will help, but I mean, sure, we can. I wouldn't recommend watching any of the videos of the people complaining about it, though. Like the Stellar Blade censorship scandal, quote unquote. I mean, you should watch some of the videos if you really want some laughs, but I mean, it's bad.
I mean, let me see. I imagine somebody calmly sitting down in front of a monitor, in front of their screen to do this presentation. And I see them going through like this speech that they have worked or written out. And as they're getting more and more into the video, they're losing their shit more and more until the end. It's just a bunch of screaming and ranting and raving and crying. Maybe. I mean, I envision that that's how it goes, mainly.
So what you're telling me is you already watched the video.
I mean, it's, for the most part, yeah. It's a lot of neckbeards. It's a lot of neckbeards, you know. It's not a lot of real in-shape people, you know. I mean, they're shaped. They're shapes, to be fair, but it doesn't look like there's a lot of is self-respect too much of a phrase? Is that triggering?
I think there's a lot
of self-respect.
Yeah, I think these people gave up self-respect when they got on the internet to talk about a video game character wearing too many clothes.
And when they tell you that they relied on that lack of clothing, they relied on it, Shannon. Mm. So.
Relied. That's a poor choice of words, guys. Poor choice.
Oh, the truth is never a poor choice, Shannon. The truth is never a poor choice. But you know what is a poor choice? Let's go down to the trailer park.
Guys, thanks for stopping by. I know last week might have been a little rougher for some of y'all. I got me a new fun lawn ornament from Shannon. That was pretty cool. He gave me a half a car. I was watching this trailer, and it's oh my gosh, it is. I'm excited for you guys to sit down and talk to me about this. I mean, there were trailers in the trailer. How meta is that? I mean, if you look around in the back of I don't want to spoil it too much, but you look around in the back, there's cars everywhere. And I was like, I was a tornado in a trailer park. I was just so happy to see my kind like all in there. So can we talk about it, guys? Can we talk about this movie?
I believe we can.
I want to talk about this movie so bad.
All right, let's talk about Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes. Because... So how many times have you guys watched a trailer?
Only a handful. I don't really want to like, I've been trying to avoid the Easter egg lists and stuff. So I'm trying to just see what I can see because I want some things to be a surprise by the time this movie comes out. You know what I mean?
Okay. Justin, how many times have you watched the trailer?
I think I watched it like twice, and then I did click on one of the Easter egg videos and I didn't watch. I know I broke, but it's like now I'm done. I'm going cold turkey. Like I've seen that. I'm like, I'm in the same boat as you, Zach. Like I don't want, like I'm going to see it. I want to be surprised. I don't like, you know, want the, is it Mephisto, whatever type of thing going on. Like, I just want to be good.
Good old Mephisto. I think I've watched that trailer probably like 30 to 40 times.
Shannon's watched the trailer so much. He's watched it in the amount of time that the actual runtime of the movie is going to be.
Yeah, I zero shame there. Like, I want this movie bad. Like, I want it in my veins bad. I didn't know really what to expect, you know, with some of the other trailers. Like, you know, you see rough shots and, like, you know, they got those teasers, which were great. But the campiness of it, the fact that Disney and Marvel allowed Deadpool to be as, you know, flagrant as they were with, like, their, you know, their joking about Disney being, like, their bosses, I think is just hilarious. But I am interested to see, like, how Ant-Man's giant head, like, folds into things, and you
well,
know,
that's actually from the comics. That's from the Old Man Logan comic. Yeah.
Okay.
It was like I forget what, but it's known as Pym Falls. It's like a landmark in the world. And
interesting.
And yeah, it's basically like his like corpse is just huge and sitting there.
And people live in it. That's great. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like, I know nothing about like this universe that they're in or that they're creating or that they're talking about. I mean, like, I know the TVA is involved, which, you know, is going to be pretty rad. And, you know, we obviously know that this Wolverine is not from any of the other timelines, but I think it's so creative how they are weaving Deadpool into this universe and potentially the X-Men as well. So I'm all excited. I'm all excited for it.
Yes, I'm also super stoked for it. Looking at the trailer, I've heard it looks like we're getting, if I could assume, like, kind of, I guess, like, what more people probably like expected Multiverse of Madness to be. It kind of seems like we're gonna get to see like multiple version, like alternate versions of Wolverine. I've heard rumors of like Daniel Radcliffe being one of the Wolverines, which like one of the like fan casts for Wolverine and stuff. And in the trailer, you can see like the 20th Century Fox logo in the background, like on the all destroyed while they're fighting, which, you know, tells me that we are getting like a you know, Deadpool kills the Fox universe type scenario, which I think would be awesome.
Yeah, and I've also heard murmurings that Taylor Swift is possibly in the movie too as Dazzler.
I have heard those rumors as well.
So, I mean, there's just going to be cameos upon cameos in this. It's going to be ridiculous. And I'm all for it.
I almost hope that isn't the point of the movie, though.
Yeah.
Because at some point that she wears thin. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, and here's Jennifer Gardner, and here's Ben Affleck, and here's, you know, like, here we go. Next. And it's like, okay, I get the point. It's a bunch of people. I guess what? We all saw a bunch of movies, you guys. Like, what's the story you're telling?
I think it would make sense if that was like the outro again, right? Like, if they were just doing credits and it was just Deadpool, like, killing all of these people, that would be great. But yeah, leave the, like, I want Deadpool, this Deadpool movie, to be a launching pad for something good in the Marvel. Like, I mean, you were talking about how Endgame and you know, was like the GOAT, right? Like, it was like top tier. Like, they need to get back to that, and I want this to be like that launch pad for that next big thing for them.
Well, I mean, it seems like they have an opportunity here with a Deadpool cleans up the multiverse storyline to do the thing we were talking about for a while now, which is just hit reset. And, okay, great. We've got X-Men now. We've got you know, the Fantastic Four. We've got whatever, because Deadpool went through and just like cleaned up all the mess. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're obviously jumping through a sling ring in the mm-hmm. trailer. Where are they going? Where do you think?
Mm.
I have a theory.
I don't know.
Let me tell you my theory like this.
On your left.
You don't think? No, they're not going to.
They show up and it's the last scene of Endgame. But now with Deadpool and Wolverine.
No, you're not going to.
I'm not going to say it's that whole scene, but it wouldn't shock me at all if they've just like appeared in the middle of it.
Dude, that would be pretty funny.
It's like there's all this happening, and the next thing you know, it's like also Deadpool. What?
Like, yeah, like Peter's playing keep away with the gauntlet, and he's like, "Hey, I know that guy." And he's like, "Do you?" He's like, "No." He's like, "But he's like, it'd be cool if I did."
I don't know. I mean, that's a good pull. But I think
that's how it ends. That's how it ends. Deadpool ends up with the gauntlet. And snaps.
Oh.
And now there's X-Men in the MCU.
And
what
Robert Downey Jr. is back.
Yeah.
Sure.
Deadpool why not? Wears like, it and does it. It's
yeah, everybody's back. Like Steve doesn't go back in time and stay there. He like they just that's how they reboot their universe. They just bring back all the people that are actually had profitable movies, great movies.
But they do like in the most Deadpool way possible of like everyone's fighting. It's like that last scene where, you know, Captain Marvel's fighting Thanos, Tony's fighting Thanos, he's beating the shit out of Captain America, and Deadpool just walks up and shoots him in the face and takes the gauntlet. You know, just like in the most Deadpool way possible of just like boom, 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 boosh. Anyway, thanks for the glove. You know.
Yeah. He's like, eat a dick grimace, and then like just punches Thanos in the face.
I mean, looks like that shit writes itself.
Right.
God damn.
But no, I'm in your camp, Shannon. Like, I hope that this kinda, you know, puts Marvel back on the map again, and this'll kinda be like their reawakening into this new era of Deadpool and Fantastic Four and potentially like the X-Men and stuff like that to kind of get momentum going back in that universe again.
Now, do you think that we see Loki in this too? I mean, the TVA is there. Do you think that we get that close to seeing Loki and like then they just, you know, change directions, or do you think he makes an appearance?
I don't imagine us actually seeing Loki. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a reference to him though, like kind of in the background at the TVA or something like that. Like maybe like a statue honoring him or something is like in the TVA and it's just kind of like nonchalantly in the background or something. But I don't imagine like him directly interacting with Loki or us like really seeing Loki. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Owen Wilson's character, though. Morbius.
Yeah.
You mean Mobius?
Morbius. Jared Leto comes out and he's like, it's Morbin time.
Oh, that would be so good. I'm in. Yes.
He just like, he had Deadpool just cuts his head off. Like, nope.
cast of Madame Web walks in like, why are we here? Like, what is happening?
He's like, stick the DC dick, and then just cuts his head off.
Oh, man.
I'm going to hurt you really, really bad. But yes, I think it's safe to say we're all hyped. It's only, what, 2 months away? 1 month.
July, right? I thought it was July.
Oh. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Shannon would know. He's watched the trailer 40 times.
So. Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Yeah, it's July. Yeah,
July 26th. Damn it. Mm-hmm. Thought it was May. All right, 2 months.
Anybody got it's gonna be May? Yep.
No.
No. Okay. All right.
Zach just gets up and leaves.
Yeah. Did you see his eyes got narrower, dude? I didn't even think that was possible, but like they just were so close together. They almost looked closed.
I do have naturally squinty eyes, but mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway. Yes, thank you for making fun of me. I can't help it, Shannon. It's how I was born. All right, should we talk about
because your future's so bright?
Sure. I remember you said that. Should we talk about what we've been playing?
Yeah.
Justin and I finished a little Game Pass gem. Highly recommend Botany Manor. It's one of them walkabout type games, you know, and the Firewatch type, What Remains of Edith Finch, that sort of thing. Kind of reminds me of The Witness in some ways with the puzzles. But essentially, you play as an elderly woman walking around her stately manor. She has a passion for gardening, and she is trying to fill out a book that is basically, was it forgotten?
Forgotten flora or
yeah,
whatever,
forgotten
fauna
or something. Fauna, flora, flora, fauna's animal.
Yeah,
forgotten flora. And so you go around, you collect seeds, you plant them, and then you try to figure out. The puzzles are figuring out how to make them bloom, right? And sometimes it's sounds or colors or heat, different aspects of the things you come across in your house that you can use to make these plants grow. And along the way, you're picking up little clues about this person's life and what's going on with them and who they are and different aspects of that. And that's kind of the whole game. It's pretty short. It's, what, 4 or 5 hours, maybe?
Yeah.
If I knew exactly what to do, it'd probably take me 2 or 3. It's a super chill, super relaxing. I shockingly found it to be totally my vibe and style right now. It was absolutely a great unwinding type game of, oh, I'm just going to plant this and I'm going to carry this pot over here. And oh, look, I can read about mushrooms and how they affect trees and, you know, like all this type of stuff. And it was cool to unlock more and more pieces of the house, more and more grounds around the house. You know, at one point you unlock an orchard and a formal garden and like a boathouse and all this stuff as you're trying to, you know, just piece more aspects together of this person's life and figure out what the next plant is going to do and how it works. At certain times, though, I never needed a guide. I never needed a guide. But at certain aspects of these puzzles were ridiculously hard compared to some of the rest of these puzzles. Like some of it's stupid easy where you're like reading the little clues and you're like, oh, okay, so this thing needs hot water. And then you find a chart that has water temperatures. And then it's like, oh, but this clue tells me that it's found in this river, which I look at the chart. Okay, so that river has this temperature. So that I go to the temperature, the you know, hot water heater and set it to the correct temperature. And oh, look, it bloomed. That's easy. And then there's the library puzzle. And Justin, did you get hung up in the library with the 5 discs?
So, A, first of all, in the tub one, you forgot to mention. So I did the tub thing too. And I could not, I was like, am I using the wrong plant? Like, I was like, I have the temperature. Like, I have, like,
did you
whatever.
Forget the pig?
Like, well, it's because, A, yeah, you have to go into the attic first to get the pig or whatever. Yeah, and yeah. I was like, it was talking about the rusty water, whatever. And I was like, dude, like, I could not figure out what the fuck I needed to get this to work. And then I went up into the attic and was looking around. And then I was like, I picked up the pig and I was like, oh, I was like, that's cool, whatever. And then I sat it down and then I was like, wait, I'm like, I actually picked that up. Like, I didn't just like look at it. Like, I physically moved it. And then I saw it said rusty pig and I was like, son of a bitch. And so I went and then, yeah, you threw it in the tub and I was like, that's the rusty water that the one article that was in the garbage or whatever was talking about with the wheat.
Yep.
Like, ah, but I was like, because I had not gone to the attic. Like I was like, oh, let me do this. I was like, let me do this first and then we'll progress. But then at that point, I realized, I'm like, oh no, like once you get a key somewhere, you need to go there. Like you need to explore everything first and then start like tackling the plants and stuff. Like you can't just, oh, I'm going to do this little section first and this, because like once you get to chapter three, like you have to like actually like pretty much do everything and then you can start.
You really need all the clues. Once you have all the clues filled in on something, you can solve it.
And that's what's funny is like there is the clues. I did not really like, I looked at the clues and everything, but like associating clues with plants, I did not do that on anything. Like I straight up did not put any like a single clue with it. No, I had no idea how it even worked. I did it on one and like I just kind of filled in. Obviously, it wasn't the right clues because like it didn't work, whatever. But I was just like, I don't know what this is doing, but I don't need this to do this. So I just completely forewent it. But the library, funny enough, like I solved that door on like a complete fluke. Like I did not really, it took me, I think, two tries. And on just my second try,
in random order.
Yeah, on the second try, I got it. And I just like, cause I went and looked at all the plates again or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I think this is on this end and this is on this end. And then I tried the middle and it didn't work. I'm like, let me switch the middle ones. And then that worked. And I was like, okay, like we did it. I was, I don't know how I was supposed to figure it out, but I lucked into the answer.
Well, let me tell you how you're supposed to figure it out. And I hate you also. I know. I spent so long with these, there's five discs and you need to push them in an order to open a secret door. And that secret door is absolutely necessary for you to be able to solve one of the puzzles. In the library, there are five books. Each book tells a story, right? Mm-hmm. And there's like one with a rabbit and one with like a fairy and one with like a moon and a sun and a fish, I think. And
yeah.
So those are the five discs, is like a sun, a moon, a fish, a rabbit, and a fairy, or a crow, not a fairy, crow. And there's an order. The order is in the stories themselves. They each say a time of day.
Oh, well, and see, that's what I think, because I did figure out that, like, that's what I figured out first was like maybe day and night, because I had like the sun first and then the moon. And I was like somewhere in the middle. But then I initially thought, I went back and I did look at the book. So I thought maybe on the spine it had like a volume number. And I thought maybe that, but it didn't say anything. So I was like, damn it. I was like, that's not it. But so I did have that initial thought.
So that was one I caught after going like the eighth time to reread the stories. And like, what am I missing? I don't understand this. What am I missing? And then I'm like, oh, that can't be it. That can't be it. And then I walk back and I'm like, click, 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 click. Door opens. I'm like, son of a bitch. God damn it. Like, it's been so long. But yeah. So that was one that stumped me. The other one, the stupid Robin puzzle at the end of the game.
Yes. I also, two cages. So, and that's what's funny is I figured that out. And like what to do. Like, I was like, okay, we need to lead the Robin from here to here. But I set up the second cage like in the row. And then when he flew down into the first cage, I was like, okay, now we're going to spook him into the second cage. But then he flew back into the thing. And like, I kept picking up and putting down the first one to get him to go. And like, it legitimately took me probably like you said, like 20 minutes before it occurred to me to pick up that second one again, once he's in the first one, and put it back down.
Yeah.
And then once I realized that's what I was supposed to do, I was literally like face in hands, like so mad at myself that I was like, dude, I've been stuck trying to figure this. And I had it right in front of my face. And it's just, I just wasn't doing that second part. And that's like a lot of what I got stuck on was like, I'm basically doing the thing. And it's like, I'm just missing something. And I just could not figure out what that second little something is. Like, I know I posted in the Discord, like I got stuck on, I don't remember which one. It's the one where you like, it's in the garden or whatever, and you open the cabinet. There's the different like pot or the has the sheet that's like, oh, like for 100 grams of this, it's like in the shape of the pot and the whatever. And I like completely forgot that like little piece of paper was in there. And so I was like, Sam, like, how am I supposed to figure out like how much to do whatever. And then it like kind of, as I'm running around, it like reoccurred. I walked in there and saw it again. And I was like, son of a bitch. And that's like a lot of why I got stuck in certain things. Like, it's just like the house is so huge. Like, I would constantly forget like where stuff was. And I'd just be like wandering around trying to figure out how to get back to somewhere and stuff like that. And missing certain things, like for the,
You know what would have helped that? You know what would have helped that?
The clues.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would have. Just saying, but for the fern, like I could not figure out how to get the fern to grow. At first, I thought the fern was the one that needed to go into the tub. And like when that didn't work, I was like, dude, like, I'm like, how does this grow? Like, I could not figure it out. And then walking like between rooms down the hall on the way to the attic, above like this table, there's the picture. Of the fern with the bird eggs. And I was like sitting there and I stared at it and I was like, son of a bitch. Cause I remembered the egg thing earlier. I was like, I had no idea what that was for. And I was like, what are these egg things for? Like, I have no idea. Yeah. And then I was like, oh dude, I'm so stupid. So then I went and like did the egg thing and then figured that out. And then the one plant. Yeah. With the, we have to ring the bells in the order. Like I knew one of them had to be solved with music and I couldn't remember where. And I thought there was the one, there's that record player in like the one place like over there. And I thought that was it, but that was for a different plant. And I was like, dude, I swear to God, there was another room with the music, whatever. And it was the one, yeah, where you had the bird chirp or whatever, and you had to hit the certain note. Yeah. But it's like, I couldn't find that room again. Like I forgot where it was. And then like, I was like, where does this random like staircase go? And then it took me up there again because I'd only been there once. And then I was like, cool, I don't know what this is for, but I'll come back later. And it's like, mm-hmm. I could never find it again. And I was like, okay, here it is. I'm like, I need to go make a new plant because I don't remember where I sat my other one down. And I'm going to bring it back up here. And
I will say the house map is almost pointless.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't even know why it's there.
Yeah, like there was a couple times, especially trying to figure out, I'm like, where is, like, I have the key to the gardens or whatever. I'm like, how do I get there? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's number 14 on the map. I'm like, cool, but where am I in conjuncture to number 14 on the map? And I'm like, how do I get there? I'm like, do I need to go around the house? Is there, like, a door in the house that I come out of to get to that side, like, of the house? Like, how do I get there? And the map did not help at all with that.
Yeah, no marker of where you are doesn't help. It really doesn't. Yeah. So, but yeah, your overall thoughts on the game, Justin?
No, I thought it was a very cute little game. It reminded me, like we mentioned The Witness and stuff, but also in terms of like environmental storytelling, it reminded me a lot of Gone Home with like picking up the books. And like, I felt really bad for her, like, playing the game. I did not expect to get as like emotionally attached like to the game, but like the rejection letters and stuff for like her research and being like, you know, a woman in the 1800s, and they're like, being a scientist is a man's job, so you should just keep to the house, and her kind of like fighting against those like social norms and stuff to be like, nah bitch, like I love plants and I'm gonna teach people about plants and I'm gonna be a scientist. And like the letters, and even like
her,
like,
and even her own family being like,
"Yeah,
you're running out of time. You need a husband, dude. Like, what's going on?"
The aunt or whatever that's like, "Hey, I don't know if you know this, but your ovaries are dying. I got a friend who's gonna come to dinner. Wear something tight, and we'll hook you up." But I thought it was a good game.
It's a good experience for sure. It's one of the best ones of those I've played. Maybe since What Remains of Edith Finch, like that's probably my favorite one of those, but it was super solid. I highly recommend it. Shannon, it's a good one. If you get the free time for a nice relaxing game, you know,
I mean, that's cool. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. I don't know if it sounds like something for me though.
Fair. I bet I tell you at this time, in my current existence, it's nice to just have something where I'm walking around a nice garden trying to plant some plants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Therapeutic.
Is it better than like Power Wash Simulator?
A little bit, just because there is a story. There is something where like I'm kind of like working through some stuff. It's like more of a puzzle, so your brain's actually working. It's not just like I can just shut off completely and just spray the wall
for just coloring with dirt.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay.
I like it in that regard.
Nice.
But yeah, that's all. That's pretty much all I've been playing. Justin, you playing anything else? Or?
The only other thing I played is I played a little bit of Another Crab's Treasure, which also came out on Game Pass this week, and it is a Souls-like game. You play as this little crab who. At the beginning of the game, there's this whole cutscene thing where a loan shark, who is an actual shark, takes his shell. But it's funny. So it's a loan shark. So, but it's a shark. But it's funny because the shark is not an actual shark. It's one of those like little grabber toy things where the mouth opens. Like it's not a real shark. So it's like this toy wearing a fedora, and it's a loan shark, and he takes your shell. Because you haven't like paid your taxes or something like that, and he wants money, and you're trying to give him like treasure and gold, and he's like, "Are you fucking stupid?" And he's like, "No, money here is garbage, like plastic, all the stuff you find in the ocean, like that's money. Like, what am I gonna do with treasure and gold? Like, no, I need trash." So you set out to. Basically, you chase him, but then he gets away and stuff. So then now you're shellless and you need to kind of set out and go explore and collect some money and stuff so that you can go get your shell back. And you end up picking up this little, like, almost like fork as a weapon. And you, the shell mechanic, I think is really cool. Like you, there's different objects that you can use as shells. Like there's a lot of them. There's like empty tin cans. There are like bottle caps, and each of them have like different side, like different weight classes to them. Like bottle caps and stuff like that are smaller. So, you know, you're like have less defense, but you can move like roll quicker and stuff like that. Soda cans are medium. So they're like middle of the road. And then you have like, buckets and, you know, stuff like that, bigger objects that are like your larger, heavier shells that provide a lot of defense, but you can't really like roll away or like kind of move as fast with those on. But combat wise, like it plays exactly like a, you know, typical like Dark Souls game stuff. Like you can like perfect guard, you can roll out of the way. Your shells, eventually you unlock the ability that like your shells, depending on like what it is, have different powers that you can use. So like soda cans, you can do like a fizzy bomb type thing with them. There was like a party popper shell thing that I had that like exploded like a cannon on some people. One of my favorites though is there is a slew of accessibility options for the game, and one of the accessibility options at the very bottom is just called Give Crab Gun. And when you click it, his shell becomes like a realistic sized like pistol on his back. It's huge and it's like a life-size gun, and you retract into it and you just shoot, and it one hits anything, like bosses, whatever. That's you hilarious. Just blast them, and the gun's like bam, 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 just like everywhere. And it's like huge. They're just waddling around with this like massive gun. It's pretty funny. So I switched that on a couple times just for like shits and giggles and stuff to just blast on them, and it was pretty great. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. Like it. I'm playing it on the original Xbox One, and man, like when you're actually playing the game, everything's fine. Like I don't really have pop-in or like anything, and like movement, everything's great. But dude, during like the cutscenes, like the game, like the frame rate tanks like hard during the cutscenes on the original Xbox. Like I don't know why, but it goes from like 30 to like 15, maybe 10 during some of these cutscenes, which luckily there's not like a lot of them or anything. Like, it's not like a huge hindrance. I just, like, it was just something I noticed. I was just like, oh yeah, this like was not optimized for the original Xbox One. But it's been a lot of fun. I definitely think, especially for you, Zach, I think it's worth checking out. And like I said, the access, like the game is hard, but the accessibility options like really help. Like, there's like, oh, you don't drop all your souls when you die, and like, oh, your shells have more defense, or your enemies have less health, or like you don't take fall damage. So like, there's not just like, I mean, the give a crab a gun is like the easy mode, I guess, yeah. But like everything else is more just like, we're going to make this like a little less hard for you, and you can switch them on and off whenever you want, which is cool. I know I switched on after losing all my souls for about the third or fourth time, trying to get to like a bonfire to level up. I got frustrated and just switched that on. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not fucking with that. Like, I'm sick. I need to level up. I'm sick of losing it. Cause that's like my one complaint. If I had to complain about anything about it, is in Dark Souls, like one of the big things is that like studying enemies' attacks, like, you know, they're telegraphing the attack and like learning what they're going to do it. In this game, it does that, but there's also a lot of enemies, like little crab enemies or like whatever, that like hide in the sand. And then like when you approach close enough, like, they pop out, and like, so there's times where you'll get swarmed by like two or three of those dudes because you didn't know they were there. And it's just like, man, so there's like a couple times where I lost all my souls because I was wandering around somewhere trying to just run through an area, and then I got bombarded by like five crabs and I died because they were all hiding in the sand and I didn't see them. And I'm like, really? Like, that's like the opposite of like Dark Souls design. It's like, oh, you see that enemy over there, but it's like, okay, you're just ambushing me at this point, which I don't think is fair. And I'm just trying to literally get to a bonfire to save my game, and I legitimately can't because I don't want to fight all these fucking things. I just want to save and dip out.
I do appreciate them trying to make a Dark Souls game with accessibility, though.
No, and I think it does work, and it is a cute game, and like the humor in the game is great. Like, it's fucking hilarious. Like the loan shark thing, there's tons of puns, like tons of crustacean puns, and like you know, any type of like crab or shell or whatever type pun like exists in that game.
All right.
Shannon, like, you been playing anything?
I have been continuing my descent into Helldivers, and I'm having such a good time with that game, guys. I'm like level 20 now, and I'm doing challenging to hard missions, and let me tell you, dude, like, you need to be at the higher levels with them stratagems to get through those dying only a handful of times. But I think it's my level of difficulty. You know, I mean, like, I am enjoying this game. Like, and I think some of the random people that have had microphones that I've actually talked to while playing the game make it, like, just, I mean, it's so much more fun to play with people. This week, there was a major order to save either the humans on a planet that the automatons had under their control, or the Terminates had under their control, and depending on which humans we saved more of, we got a new stratagem. So everybody went more on the automaton side, and so we got these air-to-ground missiles that you can launch from your shoulder. And I have blown more of my teammates up than I have blown up enemies with these things, let me tell you. They are good for shooting things off in the distance, but the minute you get anything close, please don't fire those. Like, they will just kick everybody's teeth in. I mean, you'll get a full team wipe if you shoot that too close. But yeah, that's fun. Other than that, with the new Fallout TV show, you know, that I'm enjoying, I have gone back into Fallout 4, and you know, they have been giving it they gave it a new gen update graphics wise and yeah I I'm enjoying it. It's Fallout 4. I haven't played it in 10 years. And so I don't know. I don't remember much of the story. Not that there was one to begin with, you know, but I don't remember a lot of the main characters and like Preston. Mm-hmm. Like I remember him, but I thought he was more like a Roland character, like deeper voice. Like he's pretty like, you know, like just kind of mellow, kind of not what I remembered. Graphically, it looks great. I have no problems with that.
How is the graphic update? Like, is it?
I mean, it's good. I mean, it's not anything. I wouldn't say it's like groundbreaking, right? But it's got a nice coat of paint on top of it. I can't play it like that. I have to play it on the computer if I'm going to play it with a graphical update. Otherwise, I have to go back to basically like PlayStation, what, 3 settings to basically play it on the Steam Deck. So I mean it's fine on the Steam Deck. I have no complaints. The load times for the cutscenes are ridiculous. Like sometimes I think my Steam Deck is frozen. Like I have to wait so long to get out of a cutscene and back into like just shooting things. So that's kind of a bummer because I think Steam is losing that that barometer for what's good on the Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of frustrating because like I used to be able to trust the green arrows and or the green check marks and the yellow eyes and like, you know, the like don't even try this like icon.
Right.
But now it seems like there are so many games that are out there. They're just trying to let the community decide if this is something that plays well on the Steam Deck or not. And like what is acceptable to one person is not acceptable to another. Right.
Gotcha.
So it's. You know, I'm not playing as much of Fallout 4 as I would like to because I have to sit down on the computer to do it. And if I'm sitting in my office, I would much rather play Helldivers than Fallout.
Interesting.
But, I mean, it's pretty. It's good. It's Fallout 4. If you like Fallout 4 and you want a fresh coat of, you want some updated graphics, get yourself some Fallout.
All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing me because like I really want to play Fallout again. The show's totally worked, but like I just the time commitment I know that's gonna need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to give it.
But I mean, it's just one of those games where like you can go and play for a half hour and you don't have to really do much of anything, and you still feel like you had fun and you accomplished something, right? I mean, you either leveled your character up or you got some cool stuff, but it's like you know it's just one of those games that like you could pick up for 20 minutes and play and put it down and feel like you did something.
That's fair, I guess. But I still just know that that means I would be playing that game for a year and a half.
Well, only if you did all the extra stuff, right? I mean, you could probably mainline that story in like 20 hours, 30 hours.
You know that's not how I play games, man.
Dude, I don't either. Like, I got into Sanctuary, and they were like, okay, cool. Like, you know, the world is your oyster. Go out and, like, explore. And I was like, sweet. And, like, I didn't do a damn mission or anything. Like, I was just off killing things, shooting things in the face.
I was going to say, like, we're the two people that were playing Diablo 4 for a month and went like, oh, maybe we need to finish Act 1.
You know, yeah, right. Like level 40 finishing Act 1.
Horrible. But
yep. It's good though. I mean it still handles well. I think with the graphical update, mm-hmm. they actually fixed some of the bugs that were like game breaking in like the beginning of, you know, the original game. Like, you know, there were bugs where you couldn't like you would try to talk to the butler robot in the beginning, like the very first mission you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you couldn't talk to him. Like that used to be something that was a big bug in the beginning. I'll tell you right now, like I was a little concerned when I went to talk to him and it took like three, probably like a minute for that dialogue tree to come up. And I was like, oh boy.
Like, oh no. Oh no.
But I got it. So, I mean, it seems like they fixed it.
All right.
So. You know, it only took them 10 years, but they finally got around to fixing that game-breaking bug.
Cool, cool. All right, well, I think we might have a show. have not finished Fallout, so I kind of want to table that discussion until we wrap it up. Have you finished it, Shannon?
No, I am on episode 4.
All right, so we're basically in the same spot. Okay, okay. I'm going to try to get that done by next week because I really, I love the show and want to talk about it, but I kind of want to get to just get to the end so we can all talk about it. And that way Justin doesn't have to dance around it.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, it's like, it's funny because like there are some episodes where it feels like an hour and there are some episodes where it doesn't. Right. And it's just like, it hits those ebbs and flows and you're just like, okay, is this going to be one of those episodes where I really got to sit down and watch it? Or is it going to be one of those ones where it's going to be over before I know it? And I think right now, I think the one that I'm on is just kind of like one of those ones that's just kind of dragging a little bit. And like, I'm watching it with my wife. So I've got to keep her motivated. Be like, come on, you can do this. You can make it through here. Let's do it.
You can make it.
Yeah. But you know, it is, you know, it's like, you do have scenes in there where like I think you got just these super gory scenes and it's hard for her to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that show gets raw, dude. Like real raw, and in a way that isn't funny, like when it happens in The Boys, right? Because The Boys is, it's like so over the top and so gratuitous and like shockingly, like your reaction is to laugh when something happens because it's like so like holy shit, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Where with Fallout, there's some scenes when things happen, it's not funny. It's more just like, oh, that's bad. Oh, Jesus. You know, and I can't really put my finger on why necessarily. Like, but I mean, just to talk about something we've already talked about, the razor blade in the boots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, have I seen way gorier in The Boys, for example, or hell, Invincible for that matter, sure. But there's something about how it's presented and what you see that like it made me grab my ankle and go like, ah, oh, god damn it. You know, like that there's just something that hit me where that wasn't entertaining. That was just bad. And I don't necessarily know why that is. I mean, do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, I get it. I mean, I think it just, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on that pulse of like why it's unsettling, but I get that feeling.
Yeah. I mean, Justin, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, that's for sure. There are scenes like that that just make me like wince and stuff. Just like in the first Hostel movie, like the thing with the blowtorch with like the eye and stuff gets me. I hate anything near my eyes. So it's like anything like that just always makes me like cringe.
The Hostel movie, the Killy scene is always the one.
That's a big one too. But yeah, you know, I also think, you know, maybe after Fallout, you guys need to finish Invincible.
Yeah, I still have to get to that too. But bro, like, I only got so much energy at the end of the night. It's hard.
I know. And Shannon still has to finish solo leveling.
I do. My backlog is growing pretty substantially.
It is. And Go-Go Loser Ranger is finally getting to a point where I'm like, all right, you need to, like, you can start watching it now because it's, like, picking up momentum. But you're so far behind that I know you're not going to.
Give me time. There's going to be like a week here where I'm going to have like nothing to do and I'm just going to binge watch everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. Shannon's like, someone broke into my truck for the fifth time and I need to call an Uber to run to the bodega to go get like my fifth pack of puppy pads.
We Amazon the puppy pads, right? And then I park my work truck in the back of the house now so nobody can get to it.
Okay, great.
There is no cars out in front of my house. So if somebody goes through that T intersection and just takes the turn a little too wide, they're just going to end up in my front room.
I mean, hey, and now at least you won't have to run away with the cops there, you know. Just grab your pack of smokes, head down to the corner with everyone else.
Fuck. Yeah. You're like, oh, it's your turn this time, right? Yeah, it's my turn.
Once a car crashes through Shannon's living room, he's like, sweet, a new outlet, and just plugs something into the cigarette. Oh, man.
Well, all right. I think we have a show. Justin, why don't you go ahead and take us on in for a landing?
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the That Pigs Life Pod. You know, head on over to Discord. Let us know, what are some of your Deadpool theories? And while you're at it, head on over to Spotify. Give your boys a review. Let us know how we're doing. And I'm happy everyone's together on the podcast again this week. You know, mom and dad seemed like they were, you know, fighting. One's here and then shared custody the next week. But everyone's back together and it's great. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey, guys. Go be great.
And I don't know. I don't got no sports to watch this week. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't care what you say. I'm buying Star Wars Outlaw Premium Edition day one.